So good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Connect service. Sounds like an episode of Midsummer Murders, doesn't it? This year, in our Connect services, we're thinking about the theme of the kingdom of God. And today, we're going to be thinking about the surprising ways that God's kingdom can break into our lives, even when people aren't expecting it. That's the theme of our service this morning. I just wanted to mention one or two notices. You might have seen them on the way in. Over the summer months, we have been combining forces with the church's Ministry of Healing, which is just across the road, number 162 Upper Knockbreeder Road. And they host a craft morning on Monday mornings between 10 and 12. And anybody who's interested in crafting is very warmly invited to join them. And on Thursday evening, our parish prayers take place over Zoom. And next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, Holy Communion at 11 o'clock, and evening prayer at 7. And next Sunday is going to be our last Sunday in the church building for a while, because our work, which is scheduled to begin, is happening on the 21st of August. And in connection with that, we're hoping to have a work party on Wednesday week, that's the 16th of August at 7 o'clock, to move some books and some other items from the church for the duration of the work. At the back of our church this morning, the church wardens have a list about people who might be interested in joining one of our life groups in the autumn. They're groups that meet in people's homes to study the Bible together, to get to know people a little bit better, and to get involved in some local project. And if you'd like to be part of one of those, and I'll be saying a little bit more about those groups later, there is a list at the back of the church. The church wardens have them at the back. But just as we begin this morning, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for gathering us together this morning as your people. Thank you for the freedom that we enjoy that allows us to worship together without fear. And thank you that as you enter our lives, you invite us to bring your values to bear on our society. Help us to be open and to be responsive to the things that you want us to be involved in. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together to sing our opening song as we thank God for his mercy and his goodness. Thank you for your kindness.
My hope is
So now we're coming to the point in our service where we remember that our lives are not always what God would want them to be. And the Apostle John writes that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're going to join together in a prayer of confession, of saying sorry to God for those times we haven't been the people he would want us to be. And we use the words on the screen. O God, our loving Father in heaven, we confess that we have sinned against you. We have broken your commandments. We've often been selfish, and we've not loved you as we should. For these and all our sins, forgive us, we pray. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's respond to God's forgiveness in song as we sing, His Mercy Is More.
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patient would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger in the darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood in the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is long. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than the darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is
to our Bible reading, and we're going to invite Megan to bring our Bible reading to us this week.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The numbers of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
And let's respond to the Word of God as we sing, "Across the Lands, You're the Word of God the Father."
You rose victorious, wresting victory from the grave, and descended into heaven, leading captives in your wake. Now you stand before the Father, interceding for your own. From each tribe and tongue and nation, you are leading sinners home. You're the Author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land. You're the Author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land.
We're going to stay seated this morning as we affirm our belief in the Lord of all creation in the words of our creed, which is going to appear on the screen. And so I ask this morning, do you believe and trust in God the Father who made the world?
I believe and trust in Him.
Do you believe and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, who redeem mankind.
I believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God?
I believe and trust in him.
Together we say, this is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we stay seated as we say, He will hold me fast. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we thank you that you do promise to hold us fast in this life. And we pray that as we think about your kingdom, that we would open our hearts to receive it into our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned at the very beginning that throughout this year, we're going to try to think together about the theme of the kingdom of God. And last month, Andy began exploring what the kingdom of God is. And I want to touch a little bit more on that today, but I also want to think this morning about some of the surprising ways that the kingdom of God starts to break into society and into our world today. And the first thing that I'm going to say this morning sounds very simple, and I wish I'd come up with it myself, but it comes from a book from a writer called Tony Campolo. And he was writing this book about the kingdom of God, and he said the kingdom of God, when he was describing what happens whenever people become followers of Jesus. And he said, through those who become God's people, that's people like you and me, God wills to change the institutions of society so that they do good and they deliver justice. The kingdom of God will be a society in which all people acknowledge God as king and relate to others in ways prescribed by his love. And this reconstructed world, marked by justice, will be a world in which evil will be vanquished, poverty will be eliminated, and war will be no more. How good does that sound? A world in which evil will be vanquished, poverty will be eliminated, and war will be no more. And very often, whenever Jesus did his miracles, it served to point people towards this kingdom, the kingdom of God, what the world might look like whenever people surrender to his rule. So I'm going to ask if Finn might stick up our first slide this morning. And I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but you'll see somebody there going to the optician to do an eye test. And I guess one of the things that happens when we get a bit older is that our vision is not what it used to be. And the last few times that I have gone for one of these tests, the optician has had to prescribe for me stronger glasses. In fact, he didn't beat around the bush because he looked at my chart and he says, I'm just seeing your age here on this chart. And he says, you can't really expect anything else. So if you need a bit of cheering up or you're feeling a little bit sensitive about your age, I know just the fella that I can send you to. But one of the things that we learn from Jesus from today's Bible reading is that whenever Jesus saw a large crowd, he didn't just see a crowd of people, but he saw a group of people that needed his compassion. And he didn't want rid of them, as the disciples did, after a long day. We're told that he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. I'm going to ask Finn to put up the second slide. And if we see this second slide, we can see somebody who is in very difficult circumstances, somebody who's homeless. And I heard a powerful story recently about a preacher who had preached at four services in a large church in New York City one Easter Sunday. And this preacher was exhausted as the last service drew to a close. And he actually was so tired that he just sat down on the stage as there were teams of people who were praying with those who had come forward and wanted to give their lives to Jesus. And as he sat down on the stage, exhausted, he'd given everything on that Sunday, this man caught his eye about four or five rows down in the congregation. And this man signaled to him that he wanted to speak with him. And the preacher signaled to him to come on up. But as he started to get up out of his seat and to come towards him, the preacher noticed that this man was, he was really dirty. He was really disheveled. And the church had this policy about giving to homeless people. They were based in the center of Manhattan, and they didn't really want to feed people's addictions, so they had a policy about not necessarily giving money to people who looked as if they were living on the street. But this preacher, on this Easter Sunday, he'd had enough, and he just simply wanted to go home. So he decided, when he saw this man coming towards him, that he was going to give him a few dollars and then he would get rid of him as quickly as he could so he could get home. And as the man made his way closer to him, the smell was overpowering. He began almost to gag. It was that potent mix of sweat and urine in the street and alcohol. And the preacher was almost gagging, as I said, as the man came forward, and he started to reach into his pocket to find a few dollars. And he asked the man his name. And the man's name was David. And he asked him where he had spent the previous night. And he said he'd spent the previous night in an abandoned truck. And so then the preacher got a few dollars out of his pocket, and he reached them out towards David. But David stared right back at him. And he said, "I do not want your money." "Well, what do you want?" asked the preacher. The preacher said, "I want the Jesus that you have been speaking about." He says, "I want the Jesus who brings hope and healing to broken lives." And at that moment, this preacher turned his eyes to heaven and he started to weep. And he wondered to himself, what sort of a cheap two-bit preacher had he become? Here was someone that the Lord had sent to him in desperate need, and he wanted rid of him. And so he cried out to God for mercy and for forgiveness. And in repentance, he led David to faith in Christ. And he cried and he cried. And David cried. And he held out his arms and David embraced him. And as he did, he felt the Lord say to him, "Unless you learn to love this smell, you have no part with me." And the preacher said it was like something changed within him. And he started to see different, and he started to smell different. And he saw the way God saw all the ugliness and sin of the world, and how he sent his son Jesus to die for the world, and how he wanted people everywhere to recognize his authority and also to receive his healing love. And so that church gave David a job doing some work on their church grounds. They arranged a dentist to fix up his teeth. And they got him onto a detox program. And that Thanksgiving and that Christmas, David spent those significant days with the preacher's family. And on Christmas Day, he gave the preacher a gift, all that he could afford. It was a white handkerchief. And it became the preacher's most precious possession. He said, you could have offered me a car, but I wanted this white handkerchief. So if we want to see the kingdom of God in our midst, it often requires seeing the world not with our vision, but with God's vision. The disciples saw that large crowd being a huge problem. And very often, Jesus asks us when we have a problem to bring that problem in faith to him. And he asks his disciples to bring whatever they have, however small, and see what he can do with it as he turns his eyes to heaven and he transforms or multiplies the effect of the bread and the fish. I'm going to ask Finn to show us another slide. And in this slide, which I'm going to show you, you'll see that it is a picture of a group of young people, and their faces are blurred, and their faces are blurred deliberately. Back in April 2020, I responded to a Facebook ad to attend an Alpha course online as the world went into lockdown. And the course was run by a tiny independent church in Belfast called Foundation Church. And that church made me feel so welcome, as each Wednesday evening we met over Zoom to look at some of the big questions of life and faith. And later that summer, after that course was finished, the pastor of the church met me for a socially distanced walk around the streets of East Belfast. And he helped me to set up our first Alpha course online here. And over the next 2 years of lockdown, we did about six courses, I think. And on one of those first courses that we did, we were joined by a young woman from China who had arrived in Belfast just before lockdown to do a one-year course at Queen's. And she saw the advertisement for our course and she asked if she could come on it. And then she described the challenges to me about living in a country where the church is constantly under surveillance from the communist authorities. And after she did the first Alpha course with us, she then asked, could she become a leader on the next course? And she tried to send the videos of the course to her home pastor, but the videos were intercepted by the authorities, and she eventually learned to send them in another format over the cloud. And we stayed in touch, and when the restrictions lifted, some of you might remember she came to speak in our church before her return to China. And recently she sent me this photo, along with some others, of one of her own Alpha courses that she runs in her home city in China, where young people are hungry to discover more about the love of Jesus. And all of that might never have happened without a tiny independent church in Belfast with a passion for reaching out. If they had not welcomed and gone out of their way to facilitate our church, and now in turn, these courses are happening in China. And so to me, it was a great encouragement to receive this photograph, because God's kingdom often starts to break into our world in small and unexpected ways. So when our church doors were locked and people couldn't physically get together, God was still able to touch hearts, to use technology, to use even small, insignificant communities to bring blessing to others. And so this year, as together we think about the reconstructed world that God wants to bring about through his kingdom, the really surprising thing is that he wants to use us. He wants to use people, ordinary people just like you and me, who simply bring who we are and what we have and make it available to him. And let's remember this morning, as we heard in our Bible reading, that our God is a God of compassion, and he can move our hearts to see what he sees and to love with his love. And we might wonder, how do we tune into all of that? Well, primarily through reading his word, the Bible, through coming together as his people, as we're doing this morning, and by seeking ways to be a blessing to the local community. Those are the principles that are at the heart of our life groups, which we hope to begin in the autumn, when we're going to be looking in a little bit more depth at this theme of the kingdom of God. So if you'd like to read the Bible with other people, study this topic of the kingdom of God once a month, and get to know a small group of people in the church a little bit better, and search together for how your group might serve and bless the community and make Jesus known. There is a list at the back of the church with the wardens, and you might like to sign up and register your interest. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today for how you work with ordinary people just like us to bring your values and your transforming power to our society. Help us to always be open to see what you want us to get involved in. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're going to sing together in response, and we're going to sing Above All Powers.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all ways
fight. Lay behind the stone, you live to die. Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, lay behind the stone, you live to die. Rejected and
They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." Lord Jesus, we come to you in these moments of quietness, bringing to you not only our hopes, our dreams, our successes, and our joys, but also our distractions, our failures, our worries, and our confusions, knowing that we do not have to pretend with you. You know us as we really are. You see behind the masks we wear for the world, and yet you love us anyway. Your desire always is to feed us with good things, to nourish our souls, and to make us strong and well again. So now, here this morning, we bring our lives to you, just as a little boy in trust once brought his loaves and fishes. In faith and trust, we hand our lives over to you completely, the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, and ask that you would bless and use what we offer. Remind us, Lord, that little can become much, especially when it's placed into the hands of one who has always delighted in doing gracious and generous and surprising things. So we pray this morning that in the bringing of our lives to you, in offering to you our heart and soul and mind, we may know ourselves to be truly children of God and members of your surprising, radical, unpredictable kingdom. In your name we ask it. Amen. We also come before God this morning acknowledging that God's kingdom and his righteousness should be at the very heart of our lives every day. Lord Jesus, you have told us that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Teach us, we pray, to want that with all our heart, to yearn for it, to strive with all our being to understand your will and fulfill your purpose. So instead of cluttering up our lives with more and more things that never really satisfy us, teach us how to empty ourselves so that we might be filled by you. Inspire us to desire your kingdom, to seek your wisdom and study your word earnestly, eagerly, expectantly. Help us to thirst every day for a deepening of our faith, a strengthening of our service, and a greater awareness of your purposes, that we may be always open to meeting you in surprising ways and in unexpected places. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Fill us, Lord, with your righteousness, we pray. Amen. We also thank God for all the ways he has indeed filled this church with his righteousness over the years, for all the ways he has led us and fed us on our spiritual journey. Lord Jesus, week by week, you make yourself known to us in this place. You nourish our souls and strengthen our faith in the breaking of bread, in teaching and preaching and liturgy, in worship and prayer, in music and praise. We thank you also for feeding us through the fellowship and support we have experienced here in this church over the years, in the sharing of each other's joys and sorrows, hopes and fears, in offering and receiving encouragement and comfort in times of need, confidence in times of doubt, in serving each other and daily remembering each other in prayer. Through gentle words and kind acts, may we continue to express the love that binds us together in your name and be united in faith and forgiveness, work and witness. May our worship together speak only of your living, loving presence in our midst, welcoming the stranger, befriending the lonely, guiding the wandering, feeding the hungry. May your Holy Spirit so fill our hearts with love, our minds with faith, our souls with power, and our lives with grace, that this church may always be a healing, renewing, self-sacrificing fellowship of love and a model of what your kingdom should be. In your name we ask it. Amen. And we pray for those who especially need to know the presence of God with them at this time. Lord God, whose Son Jesus Christ understood people's fears and pain before they spoke them, we bring to you those in hospital and all who are anxious or sick. We pray that you would surround the frightened with your tenderness, give strength to those who are hurting, hold the weak in your strong arms of love, grant hope and patience to those who are recovering, and in your goodness and mercy, Lord, grant to all who are sick health of body and soundness of mind, and to all who are bereaved, peace of heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as an act of fellowship, we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And so, having just spoken to him and offered our hearts and our lives to him, let's sing to him now. What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater, What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, you have no equal. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you for sharing with us in our service today, and thank you to those who've been joining us online. As we prepare to go out into the world, we're going to share a prayer together as we make that our prayer, to live in God's way and to live for His glory. Let's join together in the prayer that we see on our screen. We go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth, and may our ears have heard your word listen only to what is good, and may our lives as well as our worship be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing song as we go out into the world is Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of